you're listening to the Creepcast on DownrightCreepy.com. Now, here's your creepy host.
Hey everyone, Casey Canton here, and you're listening to Creepcast on DownrightCreepy.com. I'm joined today by Adam Roberts, who's a man of many talents, and Adam and I are going to go on the vacation from hell as we review Dave Franco's directorial debut with The Rental. All right, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful August afternoon. Well, feels it's like evening. Fall. I don't know. It feels like I'm in a windowless room.
I'm in a concrete room. I have no idea if it's daylight, if it's August, or if it's September at this point. I like to do a gauge. I think we should do something about how creepy we're feeling.
Okay.
Since we're in a windowless room, all alone, feels like a casino, casino vibe.
Yeah. It's very casino vibey.
Yeah. No idea. On a scale of creepy, we're going to go from John Wayne Gacy to Jeffrey Dahmer. How are you feeling this week?
I think I'm a Gary Ridgway creepy, okay. Which is the Green River Killer for those people who don't know. He is the second most prolific serial killer in American history. I think he killed like almost 50 people.
Is he more recent?
He's like late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
I think he mostly did young women, like runaways, people that went into like prostitution or went into sex work. He's one of those grade A assholes. So, but he's got a mustache is mostly why I feel like I connect with him right now. In no other way. I mean, he's super dead. So, he might be alive actually. I said that he's super dead. He's dead to me, but, he's got a mustache and I have a mustache right now. So, I'm feeling like the Green River Killer.
I am a Bob Bordella, level of creepy this week. And I liken that to, you know, he rented out a booth at the Westport flea market and sold things. I've sold some things on eBay and I had a good burger this week, which I feel like you could also have at the Westport flea market here in Kansas City. I also am an artist and he taught at the Kansas City Art Institute for a while.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling a little Bob Bordella this week. Do you ever wish that you could go visit his booth?
I don't know. I'm curious. I'm sure there's, I'm saying this without researching at all, but, there's probably artwork of his on the internet. Someone scanned or like bought at a thrift store or something.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's probably, do you think it looks like anything like Marilyn Manson's artwork?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it's not that good.
I don't know. I don't know what he's into. Like, it could be, I don't know.
Do you remember there was a news story? There was a news story about that where someone was like, "We're bringing it back." That was like 3 or 4 years ago, and people were like, "What are you doing? That's insane!" And then it was like, "Just kidding. It was just a joke." It went viral on like Facebook or something like that.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, that's how we're feeling this week.
Feeling a little creepy
inside of our windowless rooms, growing mustaches and stuffing our fat fucking faces with hamburgers. So.
Or cheese sandwiches, depending on the day.
Yeah, right. That's all I eat all week long. Hey, before we move into anything else, tell me a little bit about your new podcast.
Our friend of this show, Eric
Havens. Friend of the show, writer of the site.
Yeah, writer of all things, Eric Havens. He is the writer of The Stylist. He writes reviews. He's done many podcasts with you. And he's done a couple with me, but we started a new one in quarantine because we wanted an excuse to force each other to revisit some horror films or watch them for the first time. It's called the Nightmare Hour Podcast. We talk about all things horror and mostly horror as allegory. And we are on episode 10. We just did an interview with the writers and producers of the new Shudder movie Host. But yeah, you can listen to us deep dive into some horror films. We recently did Candyman. We have a lot of fun stuff coming up. So it's a good time over at the Nightmare Hour.
Where you can get it wherever podcasts are sold.
Yeah. Wherever they're sold these days
for free. All right. Well, as always, if you want to ask us any questions, you can hashtag us Ask the Creeps on Downright Creepy at on Twitter at Downright Creepy, I should say, Facebook or Instagram. But let's move on to today's topic at hand, which is unsettling vacations. So the movie that we're going to be reviewing, it deals with that very topic. So I figured we could start out by sharing maybe some creepy places that we've stayed or some experiences that we've had. They don't have to be as intense as the movie we're going to talk about, but I figured that would be cool. And what better way to start out with a creepy place that I think we should both go stay in, and we should make Eric go and just do a road trip and do this sometime.
Yeah, we'll tell him we're all going to go, but we're going to drive separate, and then we won't go.
We'll be like, hey, we're going to go to Vegas. we'll meet you there. And we'll end up in Tonopah, Nevada, which is where the Clown Motel is located. How familiar are you with this?
As far as clown motels go, this one has not been on my radar, unfortunately. But I am looking at it right now. Yeah, I am looking at it right now. It is pretty... You know what's fucked up? Is Googling Clown Motel does bring a few other hotels up, and they are all equally terrifying.
Where are the other ones at? Now I'm curious, because I did not anticipate that.
Well, unless this is just this one place throughout the ages, very possible. But when I look at the Clown Motel, I see... Let me make sure that this isn't the same one, because it does... Gosh, this place is horrifying. This is the cover. If this episode has a cover art, it should not be the rental. It should be this Welcome to the Clown Motel with a bunch of creeps in front of it. No, maybe this is all the same. There's just like different signs out front, so I think they've changed over the years.
Probably.
I don't like this place. I don't want to go here.
It's in a very small town, like less than 3,000 people. You can stay for less than $50 a night. What a bargain, right? I believe it was like $39.50 for a room. This place, if you guys don't know it, is one of America's scariest hotels, for a very good reason. I mean, if you don't like clowns, then what are you even doing here? I believe there's over 600 collections or 600 clowns in the collection or something to that effect. And every room is just full of these fucking things. So to top it off, though, if that wasn't enough, I mean, it's right next to a cemetery. So
Why not?
Why wouldn't you do that? It's probably built on top of, you know, a burial ground while we're at it in Nevada. So
where do clowns go to die?
The Clown Motel.
In Nevada. Of course it's in Nevada.
I also think that it's weird to me. It's right by a cemetery. It's a clown motel. And then I feel like if I were to ask people, what makes you scared of clowns from a character standpoint, I would have to think you start with Pennywise. You have John Wayne Gacy, just because it was such a bizarre serial killer that's famous for dressing as a clown and killing people. Perfect. Then I think you would go into Poltergeist as kind of a memorable scene with that clown in Poltergeist. Would you agree?
Yes, I think that's correct. I'm trying to think if there's any clowns scarier than that. I mean, Bozo the Clown. Oh, I hate that fucking movie. I don't know. Do you like that movie?
Killer Clown? I mean, it's fine. It's campy.
Makes me feel so uncomfy.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I think it's a fun movie. For a retro movie, like a throwback, it doesn't necessarily scare me like Pennywise or Poltergeist would as a kid, because they just feel fake, right? Like they feel a little too over the top and kind of funny. But John Wayne Gacy, not funny. Pennywise, not walking over the sewer. And Poltergeist was just that weird thing, I feel like, as a kid when you saw it. And since it's a doll, it fits in with the Clown Motel. It's probably in one of those fucking rooms.
Yeah.
Right?
Where else would it be?
It's funny you say that. There's a guy that collects props, like screen used Michael Myers mask, and he bought that clown. So it's in his house in like a display case.
How much do you think he bought it for?
I think, if I recall, he bought it for like $250,000, which seems a little high to me for a movie prop.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm trying to think of what I would pay for it. I mean, I would pay zero because it's a fucking clown prop.
True.
So I would not pay anything for it. But if it were a prop that I wanted, I wouldn't pay. No, that's too much money.
Yeah, that's a house, like a nice house.
Yeah.
That's or like several cars.
Several cars. I mean, you could literally make a get a factory to make unlimited amount of your own custom version of that same prop.
Right. Make the mold and then just sell them yourself.
That's wild. Like,
that's what you do. Yeah. I would not pay for. If there was one movie prop that you could own, what would you own?
If I could own one movie prop, I think it would probably be, man, like, I think there's a lot of like funny ones I could say here, but I think it's going to be Dirk Diggler's dick in Boogie Nights.
Also, it could be terrifying. Depends.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Mark Wahlberg Diamond. Will have you believe that it was all real, but I know the prop manager of that movie who will say otherwise.
Say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah,
yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Gosh, if I could, you know, funny, not really funny story, but. When I was in college, I used to love looking for movie props on eBay, like premiere props. Mm-hmm. And I would like almost pull the trigger on it and be like, I could just put that in my credit card and live in endless debt forever. But I didn't do it. And one of them, and if I would have bought this, like what would I have done with it today? But I love the movie The Cell with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Lopez, which is bizarre to say those yeah. names, but it was a fantastic movie. Vincent D'Onofrio was in it.
It's a sexy kind. It's like didn't the guy who did that do The Fall?
I believe
is his name Tarsem?
Sounds like it is, but I don't want to confirm or deny that. I'd have to look
yes,
it up.
It yeah, is confirmed. It
confirmed.
He also did a beautiful movie. Mirror. Yeah.
It's beautiful movie and like had some really incredible scenes in it. And so anyway, I was going to buy the suit, the sleep deprivation suit. Mm-hmm. That's like red and veiny. Like, why would I have bought that? Like, what would I have done with that now? Like, it's in my corner of my house. I'm like, oh yeah, that's from The Cell. You know that movie. And yeah. No one would know that movie.
No, they would just think it was your bondage outfit.
Right. In this room, the snuff dungeon room with no windows. That's got some like soundproofing in it. Like, no big deal. Anyway, we're kind of off topic, but
we're right in the realm.
We're right where we need to be. Creepy places to stay. The Clown Motel is definitely top on that list in terms of creep factor. Outside of like things that are haunted, this just has an uneasy feeling about it, which is all really what the rental is about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Are you down to clown? Are you going to stay here? You're not staying here. Even if we went and did like a live episode from a room.
I don't like your transition, but I'll go with it.
Well, if we win the lottery, we'll just go buy this place for $900,000 and tear it to the ground. Okay. Let's move on to our own experiences. Probably not as creepy, but uncomfortable at least. Mm-hmm. And it fits into more with the rental. So tell me about one of your odd vacation stories.
The most odd one is the most recent one, which it
was
happened
at the American Inn.
No, it didn't happen at the American Inn. It happened, in Indianapolis in an Airbnb. So Airbnbs are always like, I always feel like something, you know, the photos are never quite exactly right. They're always a little catfishy.
Definitely.
But like it's usually okay, but more often in the last couple year or two, I think it started off like authentic, like it was just somebody's like house that they aren't going to use, or like their back room or something, or whatever it is. You know, they moved in with their boyfriend, they have this whatever it is, and now it's like become like an investment opportunity for a lot of people. So you have like thrown together Airbnbs, and this clearly was one of these circumstances. So we got a good deal, kind of on like. In the middle ground between like downtown Indianapolis and like where it's kind of sketchy, like we were literally on like the street that divided the two areas. It wasn't like I didn't feel unsafe there, but it was definitely it was in its comeuppance. The area was, and So we got into this hotel or this little room, and it was supposed to be, it was like an apartment complex. I would say like maybe it was like townhomes. Maybe there were like four or five units per like side of the building. There was a handful of buildings, and it appeared that the same Airbnb host had all of them. So we got in there, and it was like, oh, this look just like you always do when you get an Airbnb. You're like, oh my God, so cute. Look, I love this place. It's amazing. Yeah. And then
it's
you're just like
the photos.
Yeah. And then you settle into it. You're like, fuck, this is nothing like the photos. This place sucks. And there's, you know, creepy things everywhere. But what we first started noticing was a lot of the furniture, well, like the pictures were kind of like off kilter. Like, that's kind of weird. Like they were all just like thrown up there. Yeah. And then we saw that there was like thrift store price tags on stuff still. I'm like, shit, I guess they just like called somebody like local to like manage the property. Like, go to the thrift store, we need a couch, we need a
they still got like the photos that came with the frames.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like the one in the bedroom definitely was like that.
For real?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a stock photo inside it. And they all have like price tags on them. Like, I would say like 80% of the furniture still have like a little like orange, you know, like you would see at a garage sale, like a little like orange sticker tag on it.
It was probably a new Airbnb, and they're like, if this doesn't work out, we got receipts. We can take all this stuff back.
So this property only had like a handful of reviews, but the host had a number of reviews, but they're all within like a condensed time frame. So we were going to stay here for two nights. Then we had a nice place we were staying at the next couple nights. And the only reason we actually stayed at this place is because my girlfriend's best friend, who is the reason we were in Indianapolis, she had just moved in a new place, and she has cats, and her cats like to pee on stuff. And so we're like, no, thank you. We don't want to do that. It's like, this is what I was told, the reason why. And I'm like, sure, I don't want the cat peeing everywhere and it being all gross. So we got this place. You know, it went from like quickly from like, oh, this is kind of weird. We have all these weird things. And then we got into the bathroom, and the bathroom was just like, okay, this is like old, but also maybe really gross. I'm not sure. Like, it looked like there may have been like dirt that was years old and debris, and it just felt like
icky. It's like stains in the bathtub.
Right. It just felt like icky and small and like beat up and not quite like the photos. And then it was like, okay, whatever. It's tonight and tomorrow, and then we're out of here. And then we wake up in the morning, and the bed's actually fairly comfortable. Nothing else really weird happens. I think we like the neighbors are kind of unruly. And then we get up and we're doing stuff, and I'm like, what's that in the bed? No, wait, this might have been day two. I think day one was like chill, and day two we took a shower, and we weren't there very long. We got there kind of late, so we left. We went to bed, woke up. And the next day we were there a little bit longer. And I think we got back, and we were throwing stuff away that night right before we got into bed day two. And I was like, what is that in the bed? And I looked at the bed, and there was like stains. It looked like kind of brownish, like rusty. And I was like, oh shit, yeah. I don't know what this is. And I moved around, and there's more of them. And I'm like, it was all on Ashley's side of the bed. And I was like, I'm pretty sure these are like blood stains from you. And then like, I'm like, can I see like your legs and stuff? And she's got all these bites on her body. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we have bed bugs. So we sleep on the couch like that night, and she emails Airbnb and is like, you know, blah, 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 we have bed bugs. And she's like, I just need, you know, whatever, a refund would be great, but like, you should probably take this listing down. And then we let the guy know, and we're like, we don't want to like post bad review, just like shut it down, get it, like, you know, someone else could have left him there. He might not have had
it, might not have been his fault.
And he doesn't respond. He didn't respond when like the internet wasn't working when we first got there, all these things. And it's like, fuck this guy. And Airbnb like wouldn't return our calls and was kind of blowing us off. And I mean, it took weeks to get like a real response. We didn't get a refund, we didn't get a credit, and they didn't shut the listing down. So like the next day, somebody else was staying there, and we're like, there's fucking bed bugs in this place. And I didn't get bit. And I think it was because I'm a robot, and butt bugs don't bite robots.
You have hairy legs.
Yeah. So the scary thing was that they seemed to not give a shit and didn't shut the thing down. And I mean, and then we were reading all these articles at the time about all these like people, like kind of like this guy, who buy all these properties and don't really manage them and lie about all the photos and stuff and have people like, you know, half hand run them, and they're like under like fake companies and stuff. It was this whole thing. And then how shitty of a company Airbnb is. So long story short, there was bed bugs and nobody did anything.
And there's blood involved.
Yep.
I had a somewhat similar experience minus bed bugs, but of course it was with an Airbnb, which again, the rental makes sense. It was in 2018. It was going to be a trip to South by Southwest. And I had Eric and Adrian were actually staying with me. 2 in the morning, the day before we were supposed to go to Austin, I get a notification. Thankfully, I'm still up. 2 in the morning. Of course I am, the day before I'm supposed to go and not sleep for a week in Austin. And I get this cancellation, and it was something about some bullshit thing about plumbing, and there was a leak from the basement or the apartment above. Really what it was is I got that thing cheaper than I should have for South By, and I think they were regretting it, and I think they wanted to cancel it because they knew they could sell, you know, the room for triple the price for the music festival and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so we get that done. I'm scrambling to find something for three of us to stay in as soon as we get on the ground. And I find something that's fairly new listed, and it just seemed a little too good to be true. And it goes back to what you said about, well, what are these photos? Like, they just seem way too nice for this thing to have come on and like the price to be decent, even though it's kind of not ideal location wise. So anyway, I get there and this place was a fucking dump. It felt like it was straight out of Breaking Bad is how I would describe it. And like a strung out Jesse Pinkman answered the door, and I walk in and there's like two people sleeping on the couch. It ends up being shared space, which I didn't know that either. Since there's three of us, I just didn't want to do a shared space.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to be writing and doing God knows what, and it's long days at the festival. So it just wasn't great. It was two rooms. They were clear across the apartment from each other. My room had, it was just kind of dirty. There was actually like dirt on this desk that felt just old and worn out, and a very high bed, which I thought was strange. And then they,
well, is a high bed like a high toilet where you're not a tiny man, so like were you like, I need a step stool to comfortably get in this bed?
Yeah, it was like a little kid had to like jump up a little bit. Like you had to jump up and then your feet would just dangle off the toilet,
or your papa had to throw you into the bed.
Yeah, papa. And so that was the first room. I'm like, well, it's fine, but there's a lot of other sketchy shit that I'm already concerned about, and we haven't even like toured yet because the guy that was doing the rental wasn't there. It was just like this dude that lived there with the shirt off, answered the door with people sleeping on the couch that I didn't even know if they lived there or not. Then we saw the rest of the place. I just stayed in that room until the guy got there, and he gave me the grand tour, which included the second bedroom, which had just a bed frame. No mattress, just a bed frame. He's like, oh, don't worry about that. We'll take care of that later. I'm like, yeah, you're going to take care of it later. There's no bed in here.
Don't worry about that.
This isn't even a bedroom. There's no bed in this room. It's just a room that we rented. And then we get to the bathrooms, which were a real treat. Just a dripping monstrosity of humidity. Everything was wet. Everything. The mirrors, the walls, everything. Which I was concerned, like I just didn't understand, like no one had taken a shower recently that I could tell, so I don't know why it was wet. And then we go to the other bathroom, which the toilet's broken and someone has taken a shit in, so I'm like, which one would I even try to take a shower in, because that one also had really bad like stains in the shower,
of course,
kind of like you talk, because it always does, just like dirt, like someone had bathed in milk or something.
Yeah, as it always is. I don't know why everyone is just you know, an android when they go on a vacation.
Like, why are you pouring soy milk, Austin, holy into this shit. Bathtub?
That's incredible.
So then the guy that let me in the first time before the owner, whatever the hell he was, not an owner, it's an apartment, it's not a condo, got there, is in his room with a giant ass TV in this like dumpy place playing Call of Duty and like yelling bitch real loud. So I mean, he's Jesse Pinkman like on a meth binger or something.
Yeah.
So I get there, Eric isn't there yet, Adrian's not there yet, and I just like text him like, dude, don't even come here. I said, don't even worry about it. So I had to get on the call. I had to get on the phone with Airbnb and find like another place. And then that place didn't work out. And then we found another one. So it was like my whole day at South by on Friday was just trying to figure out a rental for us all to stay in. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, we finally checked into a place. But it was a nightmare for that. It just felt gross and nothing like the photos. And in this case, Airbnb was good. They refunded me. I think we ended up staying at that place for 5 days for like $350. It was further out, but it was super nice actually. So not as cool as yours. No blood.
No. Yeah.
Just fecal matter and soy milk.
Just fecal matter. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool. I think if you ask me, like a little bit of fecal matter goes a long way in a story.
Yeah. I mean, you can smear it on a wall. There's so many things you can do. It's just like butt butter. You put it on things, you know?
I think one thing both our stories have in common is Airbnbs and
we got duped.
Running from strangers is a risk.
It's a terrible idea.
It's very risky. It's you don't know what you're going to get, and quite frankly, you're going to get bamboozled, probably, right?
You should always check to see who the host is. And if that host is Toby Huss, you should avoid it at all cost.
Yeah.
Because he is the man in the rental, which we're going to talk about right now, who is renting out or kind of the caretaker of this home that gets rented out. Let's dive into this film. It's a directorial debut from Dave Franco. It was co-written by Dave and Joe Swanberg. So I thought that was interesting because I hadn't kept up with Joe Swanberg in a long time since like the rise of Mumblecore.
Yeah. He's kind of taking a little bit of time off. I mean, he was doing Easy on Netflix. He was doing like a lot of TV Netflix work. I think his last movie was Jake Johnson gambling movie. I can't remember what it was called. Anyways, it's a great story.
And then we also
Win It All. That movie was, I think, it was. Oh,
okay, I do remember that. I did not watch it, but
it's good. I liked it.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I didn't know what he was doing, so it just caught me by surprise when I saw that he had a writing credit on this. The film also stars Alison Brie, Dan Stevens, Jeremy Allen White, and Sheila Vand, who you might remember from A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which I know that they're trying to do a sequel for. She would like to, at least. And I love Dan Stevens. I love Alison Brie. I didn't know much about Jeremy Allen White. I haven't watched Shameless.
Can we talk about how he's never been sexier than in this movie?
Wait, who?
Dan Stevens.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant Jeremy Allen White.
He's never been sexier. Sure. Only because I don't know who he is before this.
I didn't either. That's why I was shocked that you were like,
"Oh no, him? He was the kid from Shameless.
I know, but I haven't watched Shameless.
Oh, okay.
At all. So I was just like completely clueless. I mean, he did a great job, I thought, for this role. But yeah, Dan Stevens, sultry, right? Is that the word?
Yeah, to say the least.
Let me put it this way. If I would have walked into that dripping wet bathroom and Dan Stevens peeked his head around the shower curtain and was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Just grab my clothes and get out of here." I'd be like, I guess we'll stay. I guess this is fine.
I mean,
I feel safe in Dan Stevens' arms.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, I can't put it all on the sister for what happens because fuck, man, she's only human.
That's true. It is what it is.
I mean, she's only human, man. Like, who could deny?
It's just Dan Stevens.
I'm sorry. I took this on a Dan Stevens turn. He was just, I've had quite the crush on the man since The Guest. I was gonna say a poor man's like Ryan Gosling, but
yeah,
he's no poor man.
Oh no, he is
quite
Michael Fassbender's doppelganger. Not really, but you know,
sure,
as opposed to Ryan Gosling. I would liken him to. Could we have a Dan Stevens appreciation episode and just maybe talk about like three of his films? Should we do that?
I think it's perfect. I think that's a perfect idea.
I like this, especially The Guest. That's our crown jewel, I feel like.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get back on track here.
Yeah, let's get back into it. So they all star in this, and it's a fairly isolated movie. I guess we should set it up a little bit, but it's two couples and they go to the Oceanside for a getaway at basically an Airbnb. Things kind of get a little weird when they get there with the host, which is played by Toby Huss. And it seems like a perfect rental home. It's gorgeous, right? Oceanside, everything seems to be great. But then we find out a little bit of secret about Toby Huss. And by the way, if you're listening to this, all Creepcast episodes are spoilers because we like to talk about the film. We find out early on that Toby Huss seems to be a little bit racist toward Sheila and her character. So not great relationship right off the bat when you get there, and things feel uneasy from the beginning. But my God, what a nice rental that they've picked out.
I actually love the setup of his character and how quickly, I mean, this movie moves very quickly. It gets you to the house and the rental, I mean, within minutes, moments. I mean, you're on the road, you're pulling up to the house.
And it's interesting to me because in some ways, the story progresses and moves along fairly quickly, but it still feels like a slow burn after you get through the first, you know, act, right? Like, I thought it did.
I agree.
But yeah, we have the two couples. We should set up who the two couples are. In this, it's Alison Brie, Dan Stevens, and then Jeremy Allen White and Sheila Vaughn, that are the couples. And Dan Stevens' character works with Sheila, I guess, at an advertising firm, maybe. And they're the ones that pick out the rental on a website. And you kind of get a sneaking suspicion early on that there's something there between the two. So it's interesting to see how that's going to unfold once we get to the rental house. But you're right. Once we get there, I thought they did a great job of developing the character chemistry and doing it quick enough to where you actually cared about them.
Yeah, I think...
Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, everything they set up in the beginning, I do really like, because it feels like... It kind of has like the pieces to, you know, what's the popular book adaptations of like Gone Girl and Girl on a Train. It kind of has like these like kind of like a sexual psychological thriller of sorts. And you're not really sure who's, you know, the real intentions of all the characters, especially when that hot tub scene's happening. You're kind of like, is this the first time this has happened? Like, what's going on? And it happens so quick. Again, I mean, that must be a minute 20, right?
What's that? Oh, the
hot tub scene.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, not 20, it's not super long.
It's an 88-minute movie, 90-minute movie, and it flies by. I mean, you're getting into the place super quick, and their chemistry is great with everybody. You have the two brothers, and then both the couples, but then everyone's kind of they're overtly sexual with one another. Like I was ready for everybody to like flip on each other. Honestly, it feels like at any moment that could happen, because you just don't know their truth, and they're kind of, you know, the movie's intentionally hiding that very well. I think
that's one of the biggest things I liked about the movie with the characters too, is just that you didn't know who to trust, and everyone could be a bad guy essentially, but you still kind of cared about the characters. Like, you felt bad for Alison Brie and Jeremy Allen White's character when Stevens and Vaughn cheat on them.
Yeah.
And then, you just kind of feel bad up front too for Sheila's character when Toby Huss is the guy that takes on the rental property is racist toward her. Mm-hmm. And so it's like every turn, kind of a twist and turn, is like, who should I really trust here? Until, you know, something ultimately happens that we'll get to in a moment. But this being the first directorial debut for Dave Franco, I thought it was a really great first attempt. The film looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's pleasure kind of in the simplicity that he took and leans on the storytelling and character building like we're talking. So I thought he did a great job handling this, and especially for what's essentially isolation horror. In this one environment, this still felt pretty kind of expansive because of the Oceanside setting, the forest, the house outside. Like, you still had a decent amount of locations for this one place.
I mean, it's shot beautifully, and it does feel, the scope is very big. If it doesn't feel claustrophobic. I mean, they're in this like, I mean, you know, they get a deal of a lifetime at this place. And it's like, why wouldn't they go to celebrate? You know, they're celebrating a business venture, and two of them are in business together. So why wouldn't they go and you know, splurge a little bit? Because the price is so too good to be true. And it, you know, the setup is so good because it's like, oh, you know, you got this like kind of racist, you know, guy who owns the property. You have, you're in the middle of nowhere. The price is too good to be true. You have all these like bits and pieces that are just setting up like, okay, where is this going to go? And then it leads us into heavy sexual tension and then an affair. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is going to be more in that type of vein. And then it's not. It takes a good like three or four twists. And I think he earns all of those twists because the characters and the acting is so good.
Yeah, I mean, the cast just is phenomenal. If you're going to have your directorial debut, having a cast like this that you can work with and primarily be just them, you couldn't ask for a better group of people in terms of chemistry and how they played together. I kind of thought that it played out like I described it. I wrote a review on Downright Creepy that was kind of Hitchcockian, like Hitchcock could have been behind the camera if this was a modern day Hitchcock film, just with kind of how it's handled. It felt like that. Yeah. And how it unravels. I was kind of poking fun too. There's even like the shower scene that really does cause things to unravel in the film. Kind of like we see in Psycho. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting kind of way to describe it to someone in one sentence. If they're familiar with his work, then I think they would really like this as well.
I agree. I think Psycho would be a good, I think.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of Rear Window vibe, a little bit of Psycho.
Yeah, for sure.
But it also, you know, it feels like, you know, the ultra popular movies that we see so many of today that people really like. And I think those... this succeeds that it can handle being a thriller, a very sexy thriller, and it can handle its horror notes perfectly. And I think that's what is the most surprising is like, as I was watching, I was like, is this really going to be a horror film?
Yeah.
And boy, yeah, does it turn into one. It quickly turns into one.
Yeah. Once that spark hits, it turns into like an inferno toward the end. Another thing to bring up the Hitchcock like comparison is I thought, what other movies would you maybe kind of compare it to in some ways or like push and pull from? And you definitely have a little bit of Bates Motel just because you're staying at a rental, right? Like an unfamiliar place that's kind of unsettling at times or creepy because it's unfamiliar. But then the Vacancy film with who was in that?
The movie Vacancy. That was one that one of the Wilson brothers and also
Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Vacancy. Now it's voyeuristic. Mm-hmm. It's more grimy than this. More kind of brutal in that sense. But I really thought if you take like the kind of subtlety of Bates Motel and combine it with Vacancy storyline, you kind of get these things that feel authentic.
Yeah.
And you get that with The Rental, but it wasn't quite original because we've seen this done before. That doesn't mean it's not a good movie. Mm-hmm. The pacing's still good. The acting's still good. And it looks beautiful. So, again, it feels very authentic, but it's not really quite original for me.
Yeah. It is an original, but I think where it succeeds is it's tight. Runtime, its casting is tremendous. I think that the scope is just it flies by. It's a beautiful movie to look for, and you know, like to me it kind of felt a little bit more like it felt like a type of film you might see in the 90s almost, like on the independent scene. Like if you replace the cast with maybe more unknowns, like I think you would see this movie, like it almost feels does that feel like that? It kind of feels.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm trying to think of what movie maybe in that era that you would almost call like, back to or like casting almost. But I definitely could feel that. Like, imagine this movie with more unknown cast and how that could change the dynamic. Mm-hmm. It just depends on who they get. But yeah, I could see it maybe not being as effective.
Yeah.
Because of that, you know, you can't lean on just the story alone. You have to make sure that all the pieces fit.
It almost feels a little bit like a Larry Fessenden movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In that it's like it has like kind of an indie vibe, like a really polished indie vibe, but it does have this like indie vibe, which I think he does so well. And it's got these character beats that I like. It's just the last act kind of changes and dives a little bit headstrong into the Strangers territory.
It's yeah, that's a good point. I think it fits in so nicely with IFC, right? Mm-hmm. Like IFC yeah. films. Otherwise, I could see this being like an A24 film. Mostly because A24 films are shot in what feels like a very specific way, right? And
yep.
this feels like it fits in that bucket. But it fits so nicely into IFC's kind of wheelhouse.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think they're it's a little, I guess, quote unquote classier than their Midnight stuff, but
yeah, yeah.
But it's yeah, it definitely like has the goods. It's fully entertaining. You know, you can see why in a summer where there's little to no new movies, why it's so popular and why it's really resonating with audiences. I think it hits a lot of the buttons. It's got a great cast. That's nobody's like breakout stars in it. Like sure, Dan Stevens on Downton Abbey, and you know, Alison Brie's done a number of like great things, and they're all people yeah. that should be much bigger than they are at this point. But they're all people we're comfortable with, and we trust them to lead the movie. And I think, you know, it's kind of funny that so much has been about Dave Franco, because you know, I don't typically, directors don't get this much praise for their first film. You don't hear them talking
right
as much, but because it's Dave Franco, you're getting quite a lot with him. And I think I'm very excited to see what he does next. I think it's an interesting first film. I think it's really well written. I love seeing Swanberg get into playing in the horror realm a little bit here, which he's done a couple times. I think he's very good at interpersonal relationships, but I like his horror touches here. And I think, what did you think of the ending? I guess it feels like the 90s thriller to me because of the last 4 to 5 minutes.
I agree. Like the antagonist, the ultimately killer, if you will, the voyeur, definitely feels ripped from the 90s. And going back to how fast paced everything progresses, man, does it progress fast when he enters the film. But in a great way, I thought. I actually enjoyed kind of the, I'm trying to think of maybe how to word it exactly, but kind of the red herrings that he would kind of throw at them a little bit that didn't seem as tropey. Like, oh, we're going to hide all of our cameras behind this locked door. And that ended up being the case, which I actually did kind of like. But then I was also like, well, where is this going to go then? Why was this door locked? Like all this kind of stuff. But yeah, the fact that he was, I pictured it kind of as almost Myers like, cause he's expressionless a lot, but he moves with quickness. So yeah. it's not quite the same as stalking.
Is that Dave Franco?
What is that? Just Dave Franco as the killer?
Like actually playing the killer.
I don't know. That's a good question. Did he?
I was waiting for it to be him.
How very like Hitchcock esque cameo wise.
you kind of get a little bit of like his mouth, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's him.
Dang.
And it's Hitchcocky. Yeah. Yeah. But the mask and the attire of the slasher is cool. I think for people, once the movie's over, they might have wanted a little bit more of that slasher vibe at the end. But it does play it more like The Strangers, where like, no, people die pretty easily. like horrible things happen. Like you're not, if you're ill prepared, like, you know, you're going to die.
If you did something that was over the top, like more supernatural, if you will, as Myers is, it takes you out of the film. Cause up until that point, everything's very much rooted in reality. And I like that it stayed that way with the villain and in those scenes. Now, I do think from some friends I've talked to about the film, like very briefly too, they were disappointed in it. I don't think they understood why people liked it maybe as much as they did. And I think you liked it probably as much as I did. I don't know. We'll see in a minute. But I think that's why they did want more out of it. And if you go into it thinking like, all right, this is going to be a kind of relationship thriller, with shades of horror thrown into it, and it is kind of a slow burn, but you'll enjoy it. Just give it a chance. And then having that character actor like Toby Huss in there to throw you off a little bit. I liked it a lot, and I can understand why people might not.
Yeah, I think the end, you know, it might be too violent and too gory for people who wanted that sexy thriller we get in the beginning.
Yeah, maybe.
It also may be like too less of a horror film than people really want, I guess, from a slasher movie. You know, you also get kind of like how it ends. The last 5 minutes just felt like, I don't know, it just felt like a sleazy 90s movie to me. It's a sleazy indie 90s. And that's where like the Fessenden part, I think he handles, you know, he's not an overtly sleazy filmmaker, but films kind of have that grimy kind of gross feel. And this ends so gross, I think, and like creepy feeling. But it also has like flirts with being like almost in the Saw universe.
I hadn't really thought of it that way. I think from a voyeuristic standpoint of stalking your prey in a way.
Yeah, that's mostly what I mean. It just kind of has that a little bit of that vibe. And I don't know. It's interesting.
Now, I'll say something because once we get to the end and we get into the end credits, we get more film, which is something I don't always agree with. I haven't really sold myself if I agree with this or not, but it definitely sets things up for a sequel if they want it.
Sure.
And it makes sense because the premise of it, I mean, it's a rental. It can literally happen anywhere to anyone, which is what makes it scary, right? Like, makes you a little bit leery next time you go, like, oh, is someone watching me with a tiny ass camera at my place? So this could easily be stretched out and, you know, evolve this killer that we don't really see much of over a couple more films in different areas. You know, we see them, he moves to a urban area, an urban apartment, kind of starts everything over again. I could see this taking place on like a farmhouse or something like that, and kind of extend into how The Collector did with a franchise, right? I don't know if I like the idea. The
Collector's a good one,
but it does set it up for something for like that to potentially happen
for sure.
Do you think, would you like to see more of that? Because then it would expand on the killer, or are you like good with this? Because I'm fine either way, to be honest.
I think I'm good with this, but I think we'll probably get something.
Yeah, because it did do well in a pandemic too. So,
I do like it, but I don't think I needed more of it.
Yeah, it wasn't a home run for me, but I thought it was really nice for a debut for a first-time director, regardless of Dave Franco or not. So I do look forward to seeing kind of what next project entails and if he stays in the horror realm at all. Again, this is kind of like brushing up against horror than straight horror. But I'd be curious to see if he enjoys the genre, or if it was just something that was easier for him to break into.
Yeah, I think it was probably a relatively inexpensive movie and he could get a lot of his friends involved.
True. Yeah.
I'm guessing like it was relatively easy for him to pull those triggers and put a little bit of money together and make this, especially with Swanberg on it. I think like this was a relatively safe experience for everybody involved. I'm for sure glad it existed. I think we needed a movie like this. It was a good palate cleanser, and it was like a good like start to new movies.
I agree.
But yeah.
What kind of rating would you give it out of 100?
I put it in like a 80%, 85%. So I did really I enjoyed my time at the rental. You know, you could say.
What would you give What would you give it on Airbnb?
Oh, on Airbnb, I don't know.
Should have done ratings Airbnb. I don't even know what it is. It's like 5 stars or what is it?
I have no idea. So I would give it a 4 out of 5 if it's out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
I think it was good. I enjoyed it.
I gave it an 80% as well. Digging into some of what everyone else thought, we were looking at a 5.8 out of 10 on Internet Movie Database, for whatever that's worth. Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter, gave it a 73% from critics and gave it a 44% from audiences. So that's kind of what I was saying earlier, where I was like, I think people expected maybe more out of it, or just more of the slasher, like you said. I'm not sure what specifically, or if it was too slow for them. I don't know. Maybe I could see it falling on kind of deaf ears a little bit, but interesting that the audience gave it such a low mark.
I mean, it is surprising, because this seems like a movie that would just, it does play well in a crowd. Maybe the audience, people seen at home, but you know, couples or by themselves. But even then, I think it's a very fun ride. Like, sure, you can have some criticisms, but I think it's a really well crafted movie and it's fun. Maybe ends too quickly and abruptly for some people, but I think it's a great ride. So that is very surprising to me.
Yeah, I that was weird, but I still think it's worth checking out. It is playing, I think, still in some select theaters, right?
Yeah, I'm still playing it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you'd mentioned that earlier on your stream. So yeah, it's from IFC. If you can and you're craving some new releases, go check that out. Ideally, like I said, you'll be seeing it at a local theater while social distancing. Screenland Armor, if you're in Kansas City, is a good place to check it out. And then if you don't catch it this time around, you'll be able to catch it probably on VOD or God knows where, somewhere else.
Yep.
So I think we give that a thumbs up. Is there anything else you want to add before we go?
No, I don't think so. I think this we did it well. We did a good job here talking about the rental and our travel experience and how creepy we're feeling today. Maybe we need to get out and go to the Clown Motel.
Yeah, next stop Clown Motel for a like Patreon episode or something. So don't forget to ask the creeps, hashtag ask the creeps on Twitter, at Downright Creepy. And if you happen to get at us and we see something creepy enough, we'll probably read it on the show. You can also hit us up on Facebook and Instagram. And that's all we got for this week. So tune in next episode, give you more movie recommendations, talk about more creepy things. Adam, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. Now let's get back to bed.
All right, good night.
Listening to a Downright Creepy original on the Crickets Podcast Network.